Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality and not illusion or delusion that'll determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views. And for the next hour, they're going to be the views of our friend Bob Fletcher. And Bob was a toy manufacturer. He had a successful business at an international business of building and distributing toys, and somebody came to him and said what a wonderful business it was. He'd like to buy half the business and put a lot of money into it and develop it. And well, Bob, of course, without doing a thorough check to find out who this man was who wanted to buy half of his business, entered into a business relationship with a man who was actually a covert CIA agent who wanted, of course, to use this toy business to ship weapons throughout the world. And, of course, this was intimately involved with the Iran-Contra situation, and this was in the mid-1980s, and Bob's life changed forevermore. Do you want to elaborate on that, or shall we get into the major subject of what we're going to be talking about tonight, Bob? But that must have been quite a revelation when you suddenly realized that you'd been conned. Here you thought you had a new partner in the toy business, whether you had become a partner in the illicit smuggling of weapons to all throughout the world.
Right. Well, his idea of toys were completely different from what my idea had been. For the previous 5 years, I had, as you said, I had built up a great little toy business. You know, and there's nothing better than just having a successful business kind of based on your own work, your own creation, and being able to actually make a living enjoying what you're doing and with kind of a reasonably simplistic lifestyle. I had been involved in the music industry for several years, which is rather to the exciting side, and of course it's a young man's business. So I had hit on this toy idea and had expanded on it, done that, the American dream, so to speak. Step by step, I had expanded the business from my garage, so to speak, to a situation where I actually had 5,000 to 6,000 square feet facility, and I think we had 14, maybe that many employees at that time. Got even into retail sales at Six Flags Amusement Park, and yeah, we were doing great, and it would have perfect timing was to have an input of maybe $1 million available to expand that business. Well, that was great, but it turned out to be, as you mentioned, more interesting and more life-changing than I would have anticipated.
Well, anyway, of course, you were lucky to get out with alive, because, of course, you're not supposed to defy the CIA, and you could have gone right along with it, but you were able to get out and extricate yourself. Of course, now you're involved with of course, Iran-Contra, and the whole toy business goes down the tubes. But that, of course, led Bob into becoming an investigative reporter. And he's done some amazing, amazing studies since that time. And, of course, we have the opportunity to benefit from them. We're going to be talking about one of the things he investigated, some unconventional weapons that are available today that you've never heard of. Well, Bob, you go right ahead.
Yes, as you said, I ended up being involved with the Iran-Contra investigations, and in the process of doing that, I had senators and congressmen, a few of them that I would consider to be honest, at least a half of the time, and got involved with some good guys out of Washington, as there are limited numbers of those, And one thing led to another, is like you said, and I started investigating, and it started actually from just looking into those people that were directly involved with taking advantage of myself and what they were doing. And, of course, being, I consider, let's say, an average person when it comes to these types of covert secret operations, and that is that we don't know much of anything about it. And every time I looked into something, it got to be bigger, and it was always interconnected. It was always the same people on the left hand were doing secret or covert or criminal operations on the right hand, and the same names always showed up, and that just bothered me. And then, of course, what bothered me more than anything was, as we got into doing these inquiries and trying to find out maybe who to legally move against, relative to contracts and things of that sort, as we moved forward, we did some Freedom of Information Act. That's actually my lawyer working with me, and we filed for Freedom of Information. And when we did that, lo and behold, my toy company was classified to be secret. That's pretty humorous when you think of it. Now, when I look back at it many years later, it's almost goofy. But the bottom line was an executive order classifying information out of my toy factory, and those military and central intelligence operatives who were in and out of my business were all, of course, classified, and we could go no place at all without, we just couldn't go any place. We couldn't get any information. So I then became the investigative researcher that I've been now for quite a while, and I ended up having senators and congressmen contact me and say, I heard your name, somebody was talking about you the other day, you had done this and you had done that, could you help us with this? Or do you have any files on this person? Or do you have files or information on this activity? And unfortunately, in so many cases, I was able to supply information.
Hold that thought here. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Bob was just saying, of course, that he started to investigate this whole situation with his toy company and how, of course, the CIA had been able to take it over and use this as far as Iran-Contra. He actually goes under the Freedom of Information Act trying to get the files, government files, on his own toy company. And they're all, of course, covered by top secret classification. All the information on his own toy company is classified. Why? Because they've been taken over by the government. Did you ever get any compensation out of your business?
No, not at all. I lost, and of course, this is back quite a while when the average dollar was worth a dollar, and I lost at least $250,000. I lost the entire business, of course, never retrieved a single penny at all, and it was just a loss. And basically, several people at pretty high levels of our government told me, completely separately from each other, they just said, well, that's the way it goes. Just write it off and go and start doing something else. You know, I mean, it was like I was supposed to just say, well, the heck with it. And the bottom line, what bothered me, maybe, I don't know, whatever, it's my bringing up or my background or whatever. You know, I just sat and I said, this is wrong. And I found out that so many, I mean, I wasn't the Lone Ranger. I found that out, and that bothered me even more, I guess.
I've heard very similar stories of Mark Phillips, who I've got to know very well through the years because of his association with Kathy O'Brien. He had a very, very similar situation. He was involved in a business over in China with a fellow, a very, very close friend. And, of course, the Chinese officials came and said, don't you know your partner is a CIA operative and you are involved in the CIA operation? He had no idea what he was doing. And, of course, much to his dismay, why, of course, it... He was pretty well destroyed. And anyway, but go ahead. Sure. You're not the only one. A number of people have been taken in. So before, the only thing we can learn from this is before you get involved with anyone in business, you better have known them for many years. You better do a thorough background check. And the one thing you want to be sure of is that they're not a government operative who's going to, of course, lay you open for destruction. Go ahead.
Right. And, of course, what's sad about this situation and similar ones, and that is that that's almost impossible to do. If it is a covert operation or a covert person carrying out these things and et cetera, it's really difficult to find that out.
Well, I would tell you, Bob, you know, as I've been at this game for 49 years, I think that almost every conservative and every liberal organization and most religious organizations have been infiltrated by what I call the Brotherhood of Darkness, ties into the intelligence agencies, and effectively neutralized. These are maybe some of the most outstanding spokesmen and Christian leaders and conservative leaders and even liberal leaders we have. And they do not understand that their organizations have been thoroughly infiltrated so that they will never be effective. Go right ahead.
They absolutely have that. That's one of the primary, in many situations, that's a primary goal in that, of course, is to shut them down or slow them down. If it's an organization that may be out there doing some good expose or something of that direction. But in my case, I just ended up being involved in this, actually a multitude of inquiries. I got directly involved with the Manuel Noriega case. I was involved with the Innslaw situation, which was basically the government stealing computer programs and using them for themselves and never paying a fellow named Bill Hamilton, who I'm sure you are familiar with, the Innslaw case and situation.
Right.
And they actually had contacted me, Bill and his wife, several years ago, and when they were in the middle of it, and said, can you help us out? And that was what I got on a regular basis. I would get a phone call, usually it was a phone call, or a letter, or somebody would drop me a note and tell me to contact them, and it would turn out to be somebody else that had been taken advantage of in the middle of, and again, because it was always the same handful of bad guys. And so their names would come up, my name would come up as a guy that was chasing after them. And God bless so many of these folks that, you know, that I was not certainly, never have been in a financial position where I could, you know, simply go out and be there. Helper, their helping hand, except to whatever I was able to do. But I could never do what I wish I could have done by having a lot of money and background to be able to do it. But anyhow, I ended up being a business and an investigator full-time into corrupted government. And which, by the way, I won't get into, but that I even led to running for the United States Congress in 1990 in Florida. And it was because I was running against one of these corrupted congressmen at that time. But what I discovered as we moved, as I moved through my amazing life of covert adventure, so to speak, I of course started discovering many things that either fell into the secret or top secret or should have been kept in that category. And I was able to find out information about these secret weapons. So I completed one DVD that specializes in showing some of the most, I'd like to take some of the most outrageous weapons that they have been working on. And, of course, the big concern that I've always had was the use of some of these extremely exotic, strange weapons to potentially control the American thought process, the American political process, and, of course, generally potentially be able to control the world or move the world into a one-world government by utilizing mind control and things of that sort.
Well, you know, that sounds so bizarre, Bob. You tell people they've got weapons that control our minds, but you know, you talk to so many people today, you try to tell them what's going on, and they just sort of turn you off. It just couldn't be true, you know, their eyes glass over. And how many times have had people tell me that? But the average individual doesn't understand that his mind is controlled. They've been able to condition us to think certain ways. In fact, it was Edward Bernays who talked really about mind control in 1928 in propaganda, you know, and he said the intelligent and conscious manipulation of the organized habits and opinions of the masses is an essential element in democratic society, and those who control this essential mechanism constitute the invisible government that rules us. We are governed, our minds are molded, our ideas suggested, our tastes formed, largely by men we have never heard of. And that's what's going on today. But
right
now they even have more sophisticated things, not simply propaganda, but weapons that can actually influence the function of the mind. So you go ahead with the story.
Well, in that one particular expose that I did on the which is called the Exotic Weapons of Mass Control. It involves things like the electronic operation called Commando Solo, which is this amazing mind-altering capability being done electronically with aircraft flying over a given area, overriding the television, radio, and electronic communications of a given area, country, or a county, or whatever, and then to superimpose or put mind-altering subliminal messages into television and radio with electronic signals. In our DVD on that particular program, we actually have footage of the operation itself taken on board the operative aircraft.
And now, basically, isn't that where the commander of the aircraft actually explains exactly what they're doing?
Yes, sir. And with that footage and information that's on the, again, it's called Commando Solo, which was started several years ago and now has been expanded and has been used, I know of, and also it's explained on there, actually by the commander, you're correct. Not only how they do it, but a few places where they have actually used it. But additionally, at this point in time, the expansion of it is such that I'm concerned about the potential of it being used in the United States during elections to actually alter the mindset of people in a given area and causing them to vote or not to vote for people that they either do or do not want to have elected. That was done successfully in foreign countries. We know that. And there's that old saying, and that is, if somebody builds a weapon, whatever it is, it's always going to end up being used. There's no weapon that's ever been developed that was not used. And I worry, of course, about it being used in America.
And, of course, it's amazing when you'll actually hear the officer who is in charge of this actually describing, how did you ever get that footage?
Well, that footage was kind of a hand-me-down. It was down from someone else that actually shot that. It was some of the footage, not that I had shot the footage myself, but I did get my hands on it, and I did for many, many years have good enough connections in several areas, like I say, doing some work for Senate and Congressional, and even some CI operatives that were good guys, and I was able to get some real inside information for several years on projects like this particular one.
And, of course, we do carry this
DVD.
It's excellent material. Exotic weapons. If you just remember that. Ladies and gentlemen, these things are developed. There are people who are totally dedicated to the destruction of freedom throughout the world, destruction of humanity as we know it. They're there, they're organized, and they're working within classified sections of our own government. Bob, you go right ahead.
Well, and to just sort of, because there's so much of it at this point in time, I want to kind of just skip across the top, so to speak, of some of the operations that personally bother me an awful lot. One of them, of course, is what we've talked about previously, and that is weather control and the use of weather control of electronic, chemical, and or electronic means by which they can create a multitude of bad weather. And again, this can be used, and I personally warned the Senate Intelligence Committee in 1995. That's a long time ago. I warned the Senate Intelligence at that time on the floor of the Intelligence Committee in Washington that this was available and that I was concerned that it would be utilized in the future to destroy the crops and destroy the economy of the United States and the rest of the world by bad, corrupted people that have the full intention of bankrupting our country. And that was in 1995. And, of course, there is video of that presentation, that inquiry at that time. But what has happened now... there's no way that I'm going to say that all of the bad weather that you see is being generated by bad guys and that the earthquakes and volcanoes and things that are taking place worldwide and the increase and all of that, I'm not going to say that it's all done by these people, but I will guarantee you that there is a percentage of these outrageous storms and weather conditions that have been put upon the financial growing areas of the world have been done or bolstered up or moved along by corrupted people with weather control ability.
And the thing is, we can't find out what they're doing because it's all classified. In other words, we cannot find out what the military is doing and other branches of government as far as weather control or creating earthquakes or certainly creating storms. Why would everything be classified? Why would everything be secret if they don't have anything to hide? Why is it that so much of what is done by the government is compartmentalized? Why is it classified and top secret? There's nothing to conceal. Why are they concealing it? Go right ahead, right. Bob.
And of course, also, the problem that, of course, has developed is just the nature of secrecy, and that is that there are other countries like China and Russia, not as much now Russia as it used to be, now it's more China, and other, even including, of course, Arabian nations now, that have the big money, and China has the big money, to be able to buy people and buy secrets and have agents compromised. And so the weapons, these extraordinary top secret weapons are dribbling out. They're being able to now tap into our highest top secret computer operations. They're stealing our plans, stealing the methods by which to create these, so that not only do we have to worry about corrupted persons in our own government causing us grief internally here in America, but we have, of course, 2, 3, 4, 5 other...
Hold that thought, Bob. Hold that thought. We'll be right back. And Mr. Bob Fletcher simply saying, we don't know. He is not going to say that the abnormal storms and hurricanes and tornadoes and droughts and flooding or earthquakes or volcanic activity, we don't know whether these are being produced by some of these exotic weapons or whether these are simply acts of God. We don't know because it's all top secret. But certainly there is the potential. They have the ability to modify the weather, and they have it through HARP and through chemtrails and through all geoengineering of the atmosphere. And, of course, they deny steadfastly that there are chemtrails up there. Anybody who studies it know that there are and know that geoengineering the climate, and we seem to see a shift in the jet stream. But we do not know what they're doing. Because they are above the law, they're not answerable to anyone, And, of course, how much of this is being done by our own government, how much of it is being done with technology that has been stolen from us from other countries. No one knows. Basically, if everything's secret, how can we live as free people in a free society? In a free society, the government should have no secrets from the people. Go right ahead.
Well, and what has developed that's really terrible, of course, we know we have secrecy. We have top secret, or just plain secret. Then we have a level called top secret. Then we have above top secret. And now, what really bothers me is just recently, President Obama has signed executive orders that has a, and I'm trying to think, I apologize for not having the proper terminology on it, but a manner by which now, by executive order, they can control information that's not considered top secret and secret, and which is really just blew my mind when I saw this thing originally just a little while ago, a couple of months ago, where this executive order basically says that the president has the ability to classify unto himself with a stroke of pen any information other than secret and above secret, top secret, and eyes only. Above, actually, it's not even above, it's below that level, but that he has the ability to withhold it from public dispersion and disbursement to the general public. And I need to get that. I don't have it tonight in front of me, but that, what he's done now is basically said, we have all these secret levels, nobody can see any of this, you can't look into any of these, and that I have, as a president, I have the ability now to withhold other information that we just don't think you should see.
Well, now, what are some of these exotic weapons that you describe in this DVD?
Well, some of the most amazing, of course, is the electronics. I'm talking about lasers. Laser weapons have the ability to actually melt human beings, with that much strength and ability. The cloaking devices, which, by the way, very recently now, this invisible cloaking ability has gone, become, what's the best way to say this? They've moved very far ahead with the invisible cloaking capability. Now, this will eventually make, at the throwing of the switch, actually, they would be able to make an aircraft or even ground or even soldiers completely invisible to the eye. And what happens with this is actually there's two methods. There's one method they had started out with, which in our DVD we have an actual live video demonstration of it. And that is taking a computerized photograph behind an image and then broadcasting it to the front of the image onto any kind of a fabric or what have you that is appropriately designed. And so you have the picture of whatever you're looking at, let's say a tank. You would actually be seeing a picture of what's behind the tank, therefore making it invisible to the average eye. But what they've done recently, a brand new advances in the laboratory, and of course it's way farther past laboratory, but they have the ability now to bend light. So the bending of the light, very similar to when you put a pencil in a glass of water, and you will see that when you're looking at it, it looks like it goes off at a 30-degree angle inside the water. That is because the light is actually being bent and causing that distortion. And they now have the ability to bend the light at an object you're looking at to the extent that you're looking around the object and you will only see what is behind it.
Oh, amazing, amazing technology, ladies and gentlemen, but we can't let the American people know because they might tell Osama bin Laden. We'll be right back.
All across the sea.
Well, Bob, you go right ahead.
Well, the and of course, the other another part of this whole thing is, which has affected our country tremendously, that's, of course, the financial situation we're in. And what has happened, a big part of this money that's not available for other things, to pay bills, for example, has gone off for years and years, 20, 30, 40 years, into secret operations. And it's, we're talking huge amounts of money. We're talking billions and possibly even trillions of dollars that have been taken away, secretly put into these operations, including underground facilities and that type of thing. And these, the money in the billions and trillions over the period of many years is just gone. And nobody at the congressional and Senate level, if they do not have the clearances, cannot find out even where that money's gone or what it's been applied to. So here we are now trying to figure out how to pay bills, and for years and years and years, they, on an annual basis, have these black covert operations that are not, there's no paperwork on them. And they just set aside $10 billion, $5 billion, $6 billion for these different projects, and maybe have an unknown title or something, and we don't even know where the money's gone.
Okay, fine. Well, of course, I think it's vitally important that people know that these things are there. Somebody knows where the money's gone, but there's no way for the average individual to track it. It's probably going into some sort of a secret account to be used for secret and nefarious purposes. There's tremendous compartmentalization of the CIA and the Defense Department. And as Senator Brzezinski says in his book Between Two Ages, talking about these secret projects, and very few people need them. Well, this is Dr. Stan, simply quoting from Zygmunt Brzezinski's book Between Two Pages at the bottom of page 57, where Zygmunt Brzezinski, who's probably one of the most powerful and influential men in America, but writing back in 1970, he's talking about the ability to create storms and droughts and new chronic diseases. And is he saying, you know, we're going to be able to produce these in the future, but very few people need to know, Sydney, very few people need to know what's going on. And that's exactly what it's all about. It's all to be done secretly. Here is Zygmunt Brzezinski writing 42 years ago. We're talking about 1970. And as he says, very few people need to know. It's all secret. Go right ahead. Oh, before we do, Bob,
sure,
why don't you go ahead and get your website out so people would know how to get in touch with you if they'd like to contact you.
Okay, fine. Yes, we do have an individual DVD on the weather control where we explain and show you exactly how that's done and the potential of electronic weather control and manipulation. You can get to us by simply looking up on the computer BobFletcherInvestigations.com. And on there we do have a little catalog that shows what's available and showing some of these amazing investigations that I've unfortunately been involved with. It's BobFletcherInvestigations.com. And, you know, you mentioned, like, the biological as well. The biological weapons, not only that we've done, but have been put together worldwide now by a whole long list of what we have to classify as enemies, is certainly not our best friends. And even though China now supplies us with just about every single item that we buy at the local store, and by the way, holds the bulk of our debt at this point in time, they, along with the Russians and even smaller nations like India, are all involved with microwave development of weapons. They're involved with biological weapons. The Russian and the Chinese are heavily involved with that. They're constantly trying to create biological weapons that they could potentially spread into an area, be able to control it sufficiently to target a specific group of people, and they've even been working on biological weapons that are genetically labeled in a manner such, for example, that you could, people that have just a given background genetically would be infected, and it would not bother or affect other genetically background people.
Well, basically, you're talking about organs that can be used to kill off certain races, for instance.
That's correct.
They have organisms that can kill off blacks. They have organisms that can kill off Arabs. They know how to utilize the genetic makeup of individuals to target certain specific racial groups, and they even brag about this among their own writings, because people would call this racist. Well, these people are racist. They breed a super race, and they talk about how we have these weapons that can target specific races, and specifically the black and the Arabs. But go ahead.
And then also besides that, of course, you do have those particular militants that may call themselves Muslims or fall into, let's just say, the Arab nation states, the Iranians, the Iraqis, et cetera, they all are also developing, or the problem we have with those areas there is that, of course, they have the oil money, they have a tremendous amount of money, so even if they have not for a long time had a great scientific background, so to speak, they can hire whoever they need. They can bring people in from other areas that may have background experience on these weapons, and they may have the money to actually buy the precursors for developing all of these weapons. And shocking, again, one of the investigations that I got in the middle of several years ago was, in fact, the fact that the United States was selling on a regular basis the basic biological precursors and the starting materials, biological materials. We were selling it to Saddam Hussein back at that time, and other the Iranians, the Iraqis, and what have you. We were supplying them with the basics and including the information on how to put together biological weapons. And they were actually shipping this stuff completely above board. I mean, it's being approved by the Senate and the Congress. And it was materials. It's kind of like giving some extreme screwball, wacko militant guy everything he needs to make a big bomb and the devices to, let's say, to fabricate C4 explosives, supplying it to him by the tons. And then a couple of years later saying, oh, my gosh, this guy that we gave all that stuff to is building a bomb.
We actually have an article out of the Washington Washington Post. It's called When an Ally Becomes an Enemy, talking about how we supplied the chemical and biological agents to Saddam Hussein so that he could build chemical and biological weapons. We have the article. If anybody would like it, it's available by calling 1-800-544-8927. In addition, we gave Saddam Hussein about $5 billion. Now, we're talking during the 1980s. We gave him the weapons. We gave him the material to build the weapons. We gave him the funding to build the weapons to Saddam Hussein during the 1980s in preparation, of course, for the first Gulf War. Why would you do that? Well, you're creating the best enemy money could buy. When you understand that, why, of course, it all makes sense. If you haven't seen my discussion with Professor Sutton, The Best Enemy Money Could Buy, you need to get it. It's fascinating insight into the thought process by which we've created the communist enemy, the Nazi enemy, and, of course, the Saddam Hussein enemy. And, of course, it's called The Best Enemy Money Could Buy. It's a DVD. My interview with Professor Sutton before he passed away. Go right ahead there, Bob.
Right. And as I say, I had gotten involved in the one major inquiry back in the late 80s, early 90s, in Florida. I was there in Florida, living in Florida at that time, and there was a whistleblower that had come forward, and he was highly targeted. He was worried about it. He had, you know, one of his cars blown up and all this kind of stuff. And he, again, was somebody that had just come to me and said, I was given your name, SOS, I need help. I'm working in a facility here, and I just found out that that they have been shipping these biological and explosive top-secret information and weapons materials overseas. And he says, the thing that I'm worried about, and he was in charge of security at that time, at this particular location. He said, what's bothering me is that the President of the United States, I have the tapes of him cutting the deals, putting the stuff together on the telephone. You know, so, I mean, and that's how, just give me an experience, an example of how high this stuff goes. It's not always lower level people. And so I get dragged into the middle of that crazy thing, and I ran around in circles with that for a while, too. And then we had, of course, Terry Reed. You remember his story with being involved with the Iran-Contra, where they set him up to use his aircraft with something like the situation with my toy company. And I had assisted Terry when he was in the middle of what they had done was set him up and try to, he became a whistleblower in the Contra business, and they tried to set him up and put him away for, actually it was insurance fraud was what they were trying to hang on him, because they had stolen one of his aircraft, used it, and then brought it back and left it back at the airport where they had stolen it. And he had, of course, already turned it in as being a stolen piece of equipment. And when they found out, the insurance company found out the aircraft was back, they went after him for insurance fraud. And it was completely a setup by the United States government.
I remember I talked to him a couple of
times.
Sure,
I'm sure you did.
Right. And then he eventually, of course, got out from underneath and just, he gave it all up and went off to do...
he disappeared in the islands, so to speak.
Right.
But what had happened with that, I had been given, I was actually called, I was in Orlando, Florida, that's where I ran for Congress at that period of time. And it was one of these calls that I got from a lady in Nebraska or someplace that was handling his case as a public defender. And she contacted me, and she says, I've got this crazy guy here that I have to defend, and I don't know how to even do it, and because he's up to his ankles with these illegal arms and things. And she says, I just can't believe the stories that he's telling me about the fact that the president, the vice president, and all these people are involved with this stuff. And that's what he was telling his lawyer, of course. And, of course, she didn't believe it. And I said to her at that time, I said, well, if you fly in here, I'm not going to do it on the telephone, but I said, if you fly in to Orlando, I'll give you all the information that you'll need to defend him. I said, because I have bad news. What this fellow is telling you, Terry Reed, what he is telling you is absolutely true. And she couldn't believe it. She came down to Florida, sat down with me a couple of days. I supplied her with plenty of cross-documentation to verify Terry's story at that time. She flew back with it. And a week later, somebody blew up her car. And 2 weeks later, they broke into her office and stole files out of her office. I had told her, I passed her back up to Senator John Kerry at that time, who was in the middle of investigating it. You know, whether people like him or not is beside the point. He was investigating it at that time, and she called him, and she was scared to death. Now, she was the public defender at that time and for that district. And she said, I don't know who to trust. And John Kerry told her, nobody. And took the wind out of her sails. But John Kerry had told her, as a matter of fact, that he would hook her up directly with one of the directors of the local FBI. And they ended up almost putting her into protective custody, so to speak, She stayed on with the case and won the case. I simply told her that if she wants to win the case for Terry Reed, I said, you just tell them that you want to subpoena the following three names. And I gave one of the names I gave her that was an unknown at that time. I said, Colonel Oliver North. I said, if you tell Colonel Oliver North and send it the subpoena for him to come under oath to testify in this particular case on Terry Reed, I said, they will drop the charges because they're not going to permit him and a couple of other people to come forward and talk about this case. And, of course, I was right, and that was exactly what she did. She contacted, put in a subpoena for him to come, and lo and behold, the federal government decided to not prosecute or move any farther against Terry Reed.
Some of these stories sound so incredible. I'll never forget there was a fellow named Gunther Rusbacher, and he was married to a lady in this area, and he was, of course, a very, very highly placed within the intelligence agencies, but he got into trouble with them because he'd married this woman that told her not to marry. He was ordered not to marry. He married her anyway, and not only that, he even used one of the government's planes, a private jet, to take her on the honeymoon. But be that as it may, when I, of course, ran into him, he was actually under indictment in a parish in Louisiana. Those are sort of the counties. And I wanted to find out if this was really true. He was supposedly in prison there. I got the public defender. And he said, you know, this is the most amazing case I've ever seen. He said, I've been practicing law for 30 years. Five judges have reclused themselves from hearing this case. None of the judges want to hear this case, you know.
And
he says, I just don't understand. And I said, well, maybe you better listen to what Gunther's telling you about his relationship to the CIA. And well, that's another story. We could tell you the whole evening on Gunther Rusbacher.
And I had been involved with Gunther as well.
Oh, did you know Gunther?
Absolutely. It was another one of the cases that I referred to earlier where he also had contacted me and said, SOS, some of these people that I've gotten involved with here are some of those same names again. And he said, you know, can you help us out, Bob? Gunther Rusbacher certainly was another one of the multitude, along with Bill Hamilton, the Inslow, and Terry Reed. I was completely up to my neck in it, boy, for 20 years, I guess I have to say.
Well, I'm glad you came through at least partway intact, because, of course, but the average individual cannot believe this sort of thing really goes on. In fact, I'll never forget interviewing Gunther one time on television. I was doing a program, and he was telling me about how, of course, he was working at the highest levels of the CIA in close coordination with the KGB. And I said, well, that story sounds like that movie that they just made called The Brotherhood of the Rose. Oh, he looked at me without blinking an eye, and he said, that was my story. That book is actually dedicated to me. Well,
uh-huh.
Of course, I'm a little skeptical of anything of this sort. And so next morning I was down getting a copy of the book. And sure enough, it was dedicated to Pete and Sam, but special thanks to Russ. That's what they called him, to Russ for giving me this story. The Brotherhood of the Rose, ladies and gentlemen, it's well worthwhile reading.
That's amazing, yes.
Close relationship between the CIA and the KGB. And, oh, of course, everybody knows the KGB is the wicked enemy, the communists are the enemy. Well, that's what you're supposed to believe. But nothing as it appears to be. Go right ahead, Bob.
Yeah, that whole Brotherhood of the Rose and the rose being involved as a signal or a sign, almost like a Masonic secret or top secret kind of a brotherhood situation. That is a great book, and I'm aware of that. That's extraordinary.
Well, that's amazing. Bob and I have never talked about this before. The only time we really get a chance to chat very much is here on the air. I hope this is interesting for our listeners out there. But Bob Fletcher's read a fascinating life. There is another world out there that you'll never hear about on television. You'll never make-believe stories, but this is not make-believe. These people are deadly serious. A number of the people we've interviewed have been killed, and I've interviewed professional assassins. You can hear my four tape set of interviews with assassins by asking for the tape on Deadly Assassins. Go right ahead, Bob.
Well, yeah, and you know, when I had mentioned this before, and unfortunately, I've never published it. I have this like 98%, 99% completed book on my experiences with all of this crazy stuff, and of course, it's totally completely documented. It's typically the best thing in the world. Or the first thing that anybody wants to know is, you know, these extraordinary tales that I personally have and my involvement with them. And then, you know, can I document and prove it? And the answer is yes. And I did have, you know, a major motion picture producer, director, actor go over my rough draft of my book actually several years ago. And he came back instantly and said it was the greatest thing he had read in 5 years, and compared it to the motion picture called The Firm, about how a guy, you know, average guy got involved with these things that are way above everybody's head. But the stories that I've lived through are absolutely mind-boggling, and when I go back myself even and look at some of my old documents and my own FBI, I have an FBI report that's over 200 pages long, and it's classified secret, or it was. I think now it's been released, but it was for several years. It was stamped secret, and just going over that, you know, it's just amazing. I was an average guy. I didn't get into this. I wasn't in politics. I was in the military, but I was never involved with anything in the covert arena, so to speak, until this screwball character moving military equipment for the United States secret government came in and messed up my toy factory.
Well, Bob, have you ever finished the book, or will you finish it? Because I think it's important.
You know, I need to, and I just, it's one of those things, I put it aside, and of course I've had, I hate to use it as an excuse, I've had all these medical problems, but just put it where I, you know, just couldn't, just haven't gotten around to it. But I really
when
have
you get the
to
thing finished, I have a fellow who might very well be willing to publish it. But anyway, go ahead and get it finished.
I really need to get it done. I do. It's a shame on me for not doing it.
All right.
You know, and it's one of those things. Even, like I said, when I go back and look at it, I say, wow, this is a wonderful story. You know, how would this ever happen? And it's all, it was my life, and it was, it's just amazing.
Hold that. Well, we're out of time. Good night. God bless. And we'll talk to you real soon.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and just I hope you enjoy my conversation with Bob Fletcher. A lot of these things I didn't know. His contact with Terry Reid, his contact with Gunter Rusbacher, who our lives, of course, were intertwined there for quite some time prior to his death. But certainly, if you'd like to get the Bob's DVDs, we carry his exotic weapons of mass control. We carry weather as a weapon. We carry his DVD on JFK, assassination of President Kennedy, a DVD on the murder of Sonny Bono. Certainly, we carry all of his DVDs. You'll find them fascinating on weather control. He's done a great job. And I think we have all seven of his DVDs. They're available by calling 1-800-544-8927. I feel privileged to have Bob as a friend. His DVDs are outstanding. That call us at 1-800-544-8927. Of course, we have so many other DVDs, but these are unique. They're well documented. They're not simply a talking head, I'm afraid. Most of my DVDs are talking heads. It's certainly my talks on The Forbidden Secret and The Dark Secret are fascinating material. But, of course, you need to get the syllabuses to go with them. My talk on the Brotherhood of Darkness. My talk on the World Revolution, very important. Planned population reduction. All of these play an important part in understanding what's going on today. Planned population reduction, they've already killed several billion people. They're killing millions of people every day. They plan to kill billions of people more. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. You need to get this material. You need to become conversant with this. And then, of course, you need to help us get the information out across America before it affects you or members of your family. Certainly, if you'd like to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters, and you do that simply by calling us at 1-800-544-8927, we'd deeply appreciate it. And if you're not in a position to help us financially, then please pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection, because, of course, we've been able to survive, certainly, whereas a number of the people that I've worked with are no longer here. And I really believe it's the prayers of people out across America. So please pray for me, pray for my family and the staff that works with us, a small group of dedicated people. And to my knowledge, they've tried to infiltrate us a number of times. We have not, at least at the present time, infiltrated. And the people who are working with us are dedicated, as am I, to exposing the spiritual battle that's taking place for the souls of men and the survival of Christian civilization. Certainly, we hope that you'll get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. Get the other items we've talked about, exotic weapons, weather as a weapon, the weather control, all put out by Bob Fletcher. And then, of course, if you haven't seen the DVD on cancer, forbidden cures, on Sydney, what in the world are they spraying, going into the background of the geoengineering of our climate, and, of course, how they're able to control the weather. And, of course, we have the book on weather control. We have a four-tape set on weather control. We have Bob Fletcher's DVD on weather control. And now we see all these strange weather patterns. Are they an act of God? Are they simply being carried out by government? We do know that it's all top secret. They're not going to reveal what's going on. And we need your help in getting the information out. When people first hear this, their eyes sort of roll back. It couldn't be true. Well, things are going to get a lot worse, ladies and gentlemen. We're heading into inflation. We're heading into the destruction of our economy. More and more people are going to be losing their jobs. More and more people are certainly going to be losing their homes and their families. We ask you to pray for America. We ask you to pray for revival. We ask you to pray specifically for my ministry, Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection. Once again, our number 1-800-544-8927, our webpage, radioliberty.com. Go there and listen to our programs on the Internet, certainly by MP3, by iPod, and then encourage others to listen. Until tomorrow at the same time when we'll be with you once again. May the Lord be with you. Bless America.